Well, good evening. Tonight we're going to be talking with Diane Carey and her husband Greg Broder a little bit, primarily Diane though. Good evening, Diane.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Greetings to all the earthlings out there.
You're from Flint.
Yes, born and raised.
And you live in a smaller yet community of Owosso.
Yeah, that's
right. You went to a small college.
I did.
Alma.
And then I went to a big one, U of M, sorry.
Oh, did you get a degree from there?
Yes, I had a master's degree from U of M.
So how did somebody who's from Flint, as everybody jokes about Flint, lives in a small town, went to a small college, end up writing Star Trek novels?
Well, I was already published when I started the Star Trek books. I already had, I think, 6 books published in the romance field, oddly enough. And writing, if you're doing it the right way, you write for the market. You don't just hope and, you know, go out there and hope to write whatever you feel like writing. You find out what people want to read and you go get it. And Greg and I were both Star Trek fans anyway. And there was this little line of books out there that were, I guess, jumping along fairly well. They were not that well known among anybody but the hardcore Star Trek people who were so desperate to see new stories that they were buying books. And I thought about doing it, and we came up with an idea where we broke all the rules, and that was how they accepted our first book. They said, "You broke all the rules, and we love it." We sent them three chapters and another chapter from later in the book and an outline about a character who was not one of the main characters of Star Trek, but who was in awe of them and sort of followed them around and became a hero herself. And I made it a young lady because I figured if I made it a young man, everybody would say I was doing a young James Kirk, and I didn't want to do that. So much to my surprise and everybody's surprise, the book rocketed to the New York Times bestseller list, top 10. And we were off. And we found out we had just sort of found our stride with what we do very well. We do Star Trek exceptionally well.
Yeah, I've actually read most of them.
Oh,
I was one
nice.
Of those
Thank
people
you.
Who bought everything
oh,
I could get
one.
My hands on.
Yeah. I knew somebody out there was buying them.
Did you write just Star Trek? Did you get into the other series? I mean, just Star Trek.
You mean,
some
just,
of us
you,
think Star Trek and
you
we
mean
think the original.
The original series or the other ones
the
in
other
the Star Trek line. Yes, we wrote all of them.
Did you?
As a matter of fact, we were very powerful in the writing of Star Trek because we were just good at it. We were natural at it, and we also worked at it very, very hard. We never got lazy. We never got complacent. We always said, why should anybody read this? And we always fought to make better books. So we kept getting contracts, and then when we got more and more popular, they wanted us to do special things, like launch the first Next Generation book. So we did. We launched the series. We wrote that book actually before the series was ever on the air. So we used only the Bible from, they call it a Bible, you know, the basic schematic from the series that they sent out. And the characters were very rough, so we faked it. And anticipated. We had only pictures of who was going to be the actors, and not all of them. So we did that. We launched that series. And then after that, we kept launching series. You know, and then every time they wanted to have a marketing turn and boost basically the ratings for the books, they would say, do you think you can do this? And do you think you can do that? And maybe you can do this. And maybe you could write the bracket books on this side of this series. And we want to do this and this and this. And we want to have crossovers, which means the same plot carried through all these different captains. And every time they asked us to do something, we basically said, sure, why not? And we tried every new thing that they sent along, and we were successful at it. So we continued writing Star Trek as long as they were just shoveling contracts at us, because it is a job. And we were perfectly willing to keep doing it. So we kept on.
Well, I have to admit that I did quit reading a lot of the books afterwards, but the ones I did tend to pick up, at least in the original series, were the ones you guys read, because it's like, oh, I know this is going to be a good book. I don't even have to think about it because of your writing. It really drew at least me into the books.
Thanks.
And wanting to read them.
Well, we were very comfortable with the James Kirk series. It fit us very well. That's still my favorite.
Mine too. I own it on video, but I never even got into Enterprise when that series came out.
Well, we wrote the launch book for Enterprise. And we wrote it so fast. As a matter of fact, we wrote the novelization of the first episode. And we wrote it. It actually showed up. Was that the one that showed up I'm talking to my husband. That was the one that showed up on the dock while I was the ship's cook on a ship called the Pride of Baltimore. I actually work on sailing ships. So here I was the cook in Detroit during Tall Ships events. My husband and my son show up at the dock with the laptop computer and a script. And while cooking, between cooking for the crew and doing tours on the ship, I'm working on this novel. And when it showed up in the mail, completed and published, I actually didn't remember having written it. Because I wrote it so fast, and it showed up at such a busy time, and we raced through it. But we've done things like that, where we did the first book in various series to kind of give it a staple and an anchor to stand on. And it generally, it's worked quite well. We had a real good relationship with Pocket Books and Paramount for many years, like 15 years.
It's a long time.
It was a long time to stay with one publisher.
So do you write full-time for a living?
That's what I've been doing for the past, about 20 years. Yeah. I am also, I've started something new in the past 5 years. I'm also a wedding and event coordinator for historic events. So yeah, I do costume and themed weddings.
Your website looked quite interesting when I was looking at
I'll have to take a look at that
events.
Website.
It's like, could be fun. Sort of like Renaissance without having to go to Renaissance.
That's exactly right. We can move Renaissance Festival to your house. And we're branching into the Civil War. We do a nice tropical island wedding, you know, things like that. So it's just something I can do. I'm a 34-year bagpiper. So I've been in the Celtic and historic world for a long time, and I've staged lots of events and been in lots of events. So it was a natural and kind of fun. So it's my little side business, and I really enjoy it.
So are you still writing science fiction? Are you looking at branching into other...
Well, I'm
genre?
I don't know if I'm branching out or I'm branching back. Greg and I are also Civil War novelists, and we want to branch back into historicals. So we've got some ideas for that. We have lots of ideas right now. We're kind of open, and it's good. We are planning on a couple of different series, and I don't like to talk about them until they're actually published because that just gets you in trouble. But we have some offers, and we have some options, and we have an idea and part of a manuscript for our own original science fiction book. So we'll see what happens. You know, you start a lot of projects in the freelance field, and then what happens, happens. I was very privileged, and it was quite unique for all those years to basically publish everything I wrote.
Yeah, I can imagine
everything.
It would be.
Everything. It was really amazing. I mean, we wrote 39 books within 10 years. It was a tremendous time period. But in the freelance field, like with acting, you don't turn down work. So I didn't. I just kept doing more and more and more.
I can imagine. One of the questions I often ask, because we sometimes get people who are interested in starting a writing career, do you have any particular...
Yeah, for one thing, keep your day job. And also be aware that writing is either a hobby or a job. And if it's a job, you need to write things you might not like in order to gain respect and gain publishing and show publishers that you actually can deliver what you say you can deliver in the time you can deliver it. That's what they're really interested in. They're not really that interested in finding the next J.K. Rowling as much as they're interested in finding the next dependable author. So those are factors. The other factor is definitely keep your day job. This is not something that most people can have a day-by-day pay-the-bills success out of. And there were many times when during those 15 years when I was writing Star Trek, when I wished I could branch off into things that I just wanted to do instead of doing tie-in work, but I had to pay the bills. So it takes the gloss off the inspiration and the desire to write, although for me it had its own kind of challenges. Because the more I wrote of the same genre, the more I had to rise to the challenge of making it different every single time, and that's really hard. We would, you know, vector off of a heavy science fiction book and bend into something that was mythology just to keep things alive and different within the Star Trek genre. So I would say if you want to do it for a living, understand that it's a job and it has to be approached that way. If you want to do it for a hobby, have fun. It's like skiing, but don't be manic over the fact that you're not published. It's valuable to you as a person to do it. It's kind of like painting or skiing or art or pottery or whatever. You don't necessarily have to sell it in order for it to have value to you as a person. But you have to decide which of those you want. If you're going to do this as a hobby and be miserable because you're never published, then you're not doing it right. You have to concentrate on the market. You got to go after the thing you're after. Do you like writing because you like it, because it makes you feel good, because it explores your personal self, because it's fun to do? Or do you want to do it for a paycheck? Because they're two different roads.
I think that sounds like really sound advice that I haven't particularly heard from any of our other writers.
Yeah, boy. the hard way.
I think you're very right. It's very much a reality, and people tend to glamorize writing as opposed to
It is not what people think it is. And very rarely do you find a writer who says, wow, this is easy. It's hard. It's very hard.
Well, we're looking forward to listening to you tonight. I understand you're going to talk more about writing and the genre itself as opposed to doing any actual readings, which I think will be a nice twist for us.
The theme I came up with was science fiction, what's the point? So I came up with all the points.
Sounds good. We're looking forward to that.
Okay, thanks for having me. I'm enjoying this. It's nice.
Thank you.